You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hey Marvel Universe, my name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and you are listening to Episode 8 of Earth Station MCU. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, and if you could give us a rating or a review, that would be fantastic. Spread the word to everyone you know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. We hope to see you there. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. So, the final episode of Agent Carter has aired, and it was a doozy with a fantastic Easter egg at the end. So, where does that leave us in terms of the larger MCU? But before we talk about that, we'll go over some of what we're looking forward to with the second half of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s second season, as well as some other MCU news. Lots to cover, so without further ado, I would like to introduce this week's roundtable, beginning with Mr. John Rabin.
Hello, hello, I'm here to be the usual punching bag, and you can find me on my writing stuff at TARDISTOPIA.net and Angotopia.net, and in the meantime, I am constantly watching Marvel films and just boning up on everything for the latter half of this season.
Excellent, excellent, sir. Yeah, we've got a lot of... I mean, we talk about it all the time, but there's just so much Marvel stuff coming out this year with the adding on the Netflix stuff as well as two movies and two TV shows. So, yeah, you can keep yourself pretty busy just doing Marvel stuff, to say nothing of, like, comics and toys and everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, your friends don't have to see you, right?
Exactly! Well, you know, or you can see each other, you know, when you go to the movies together.
Well, and it's like a bunch of us last night who go to DragCon cosplay together and know each other. We got on Facebook, and we watched Avengers, each of us in our separate locations, and just chatted about it the whole time. So, you know, doing Coulson, it's funny because all of his parts, I'm like, hey, this is where I come in.
Yep.
Or whenever he shows up with the Destroyer, I'm like, this is going to go really well for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, as we get further along into con season, we'll probably talk a little bit about cosplay and some other things like that. Yeah. I'm very excited. I got my red hat in the other day.
Excellent.
So still working on getting the rest of the outfit just right.
Now, do you have the lipstick? Because that's very important.
I don't have Sweet Dreams lipstick that will knock you out necessarily. But
figuratively, it might knock somebody out.
Well, there you go. Yes, I am a very big fan of Wet n Wild. I think it's 522A. But anyway, we'll save that for when we're talking about cosplay stuff.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on. One thing that was kind of a bummer at first, they released some information on ratings for Agent Carter that initially didn't look very good, but when you go back and start counting all the people that watched it on demand and downloaded it and everything,
right,
it actually looks pretty decent.
And it also really depends on how you see things, because with the ratings, it pretty much came in second almost across the board. I think there was only one category where it kind of lost out to New Girl, which I haven't seen that, so I'm not really familiar with what it is.
It's a sitcom, you know, it's a thing. And it was pretty much neck and neck with New Girl for a lot of things, I think. But some of them had them, you know, just up a little bit or one thing. But when you look at the numbers for for once you factor in the delayed watching, it right. gets much, much better. It, like, I think more than doubled. The original share was 1.3 for mm-hmm. for Agent Carter, 2.0 for NCIS New Orleans, because, of course, 1.4 yep. For New Girl. Interestingly, The Flash only got 0.3, which kind of surprised me.
It didn't. I don't think it had one this week, actually.
This is saying that it had a rerun.
Oh yeah,
but still, yeah. So those numbers were, you know, close-ish in terms of the initial, but viewers mm-hmm. live plus same day, Agent Carter goes up to 4 million, whereas New Girl only goes up to 2.9. So yeah,
take that, New Girl.
Yeah, yeah, Miss Deschanel. So yeah, it's looking like the ratings are not fantastic, but they're not terrible either. And I think that, you know, it'll just depend on what, you know, what Marvel and Disney want to do, if that's something that they want to pursue, because I'd love to see a second season.
I mean, I would say that's encouraging, even if it's, they do something like where it's Legend of Korra and they move it to online only. I mean, it could mm-hmm. still have a strong presence there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm sure that there will be... If they were to move it to online, there would be lots of, you know, differences in terms of budget and all that.
Right.
But yeah, so that's pretty cool. I think there was some information about the particular press release that I saw made it sound like it was like a huge big deal, but the guy that plays Creel, the yep. absorbing guy on S.H.I.E.L.D., it's looking like he's going to be in at least some of Daredevil.
I mean, has he actually been added to the cast list, or is it just, you know, they showed that image of, you know,
right.
Crusher Creel versus Jack Murdock?
Right, and but that was something that came mm-hmm. from the official Daredevil Twitter account.
Right, and I definitely saw that. I question until we see that actor added to
right.
a cast list or IMDb or something.
Right.
I would say official cast list more, because IMDb can be very kind of rumor mill
right.
in its casting.
Right.
I would say that it may be just something that harkens back to, or maybe it's a like a poster or something that Matt keeps in his apartment or his law office to remind him of his father. But it definitely you get that wonderful tie in there.
Well, and it seems like that's something where there's an existing actor out there,
right?
And an existing, so it seems like why would they not do that?
No, it certainly seems like an easy thing to do, and I would love to see that, because then we know for certain, you know, beyond what they're saying, that everything
right.
is connected. Well, then we can see that everything is connected.
Oh yes, there's
hey.
There's plenty of hey.
Howdy.
We got somebody.
Hey, you just popped up there. Hello, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
I am just fine. And yourself? Is this a private party, or can anybody just join in?
No.
Mike, I need you to focus. Focus. Focus.
No. We were just getting started chatting a little bit about some of the news from this week. But welcome aboard. Good to see you again, sir.
And great to be here. Great to be here. Finale fever. So let's get. Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
yeah.
good stuff.
So we were just talking about some rumors about Daredevil and the ratings for Agent Carter, but I definitely do want to talk about some of the stuff coming up for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What have you guys heard, or what are you looking forward to with our next half season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You know, there in the past day or so, there's a new piece of promo art
mm-hmm.
that it shows Sky kind of using her Quake powers. It shows Coulson, and you see a very shadowy, spiny, scaly Raina, who's mm-hmm. Like wearing a hoodie and trying to really cover herself, but it's giving you that mystery of what exactly is Raina's transformation.
Yeah, I think that was an Entertainment Weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, it's obviously that's, you know, what's going on with the Inhumans
yeah.
is definitely going to be one of the big mysteries.
Oh, and, you know, they did release some more photos from Daredevil today.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. If you
okay.
check Superhero Hype or Newsarama, they've got it. They show Foggy, they show Karen, they show the Night Nurse.
Cool.
The image they give you of Kingpin is still that image from the trailer where it's the back
right.
of his head staring at the painting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're trying to be a little mysterious with Kingpin, despite the fact that we know it's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Right. That's, you know, like we've joked about before, you know, shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
You know? he's going to be awesome.
I mean, we're going to stay home and marathon it that day. You've got us.
So how about you, Mike? Anything that you're especially looking forward to with S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back?
You know, more of the same. I think, you know, it was one of those that series that for me was a very slow burn, and then it kind of got much, much better towards the second half of the first season. This first half of the second season, I've enjoyed. Obviously, you know, bringing the Inhumans element to it, I think has kind of raised it up a notch and made it, even for those people who don't know that there's an Inhumans movie scheduled for, you know, years from now, I think just it's sort of raised the alert level on this series so that there was an actual, it wasn't messing about. It was this actual kind of thing that focus that they had. So now that they've, you know, dealt with that, and now Skye's got her powers and all that, I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. You know, I try to stay away from, you know, spoilers and clips and stuff like that, but it's kind of hard because, especially during, you know, Agent Carter, because every other, you know, commercial break, they are just showing, like, a big old fat preview. But it's really focused on, you know, Skye and the powers. But I think that's, you know, obviously going to be the center focus of the second half.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because, I mean, you know, no more Whitehall, and, you know, Calvin is very, very, very upset with Coulson for multiple reasons.
Yeah. I don't think we've necessarily seen the last of Cal, definitely. And Whitehall, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because Whitehall kind of was pretty dead by the end of this.
But it's comic books. He could always come back.
That's true. And I mean, we know Cal's coming back because Cal's going to have a brand new friend with him to help get his revenge.
Yes, I saw that. What is her name?
Drea DiMatteo.
Yeah. She's mentioned. There's an article that was posted up a couple days ago about she's going to be Carla Faye Gideon, a gifted woman with a grudge against S.H.I.E.L.D. So
yeah, and I mean Carla Faye Gideon. I think she comes from Daredevil comics.
And oh, really?
But she's a very minor character with no powers whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think only appears for maybe an issue or two. But they just, like, well, that sounds like a good name. Let's use that name.
The other thing, of course, to keep an eye on, too, is that just like last year, I mean, we've got some major Marvel happenings on the big screen and on the small screen, so it'll be kind of interesting to see if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. helps participate or you know, have some sort of prequel, or even, you know, if there's a ripple effect after the movies come out.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was something where I love watching the S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes that go right before and after Winter Soldier, because there's a point where I'm blanking on his name, the bald guy, he's a Hydra agent, I can't remember his name, it'll come to me in a minute. The S.H.I.E.L.D. episode that's right before that, all the people are like splitting up into teams to go to different places and investigate clairvoyant stuff. And he's like, oh, hey, I'm not going to be able to go with you guys. I just got a call from Fury.
Oh, Sitwell.
Sitwell, that's it, yeah. I just got a call from Fury, and I need to get on a boat. And then the next couple days from then, you go to see the movie, and he's on a boat. So
yeah, that's right.
So, and then obviously all of the Hydra stuff that was in the fallout for that. I mean, they did a great job with tying it in with Winter Soldier, although when you look at something like Thor, they made Thor 2, Dark World, they made a big deal out of it, like it was totally going to tie in, and it totally did not.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. But I am looking forward to, because I guess I have heard that Sif is going to make a return in the second half.
That is a rumor, yep.
It's always good to see her.
Yeah, and I was just about to bring that up, because, I mean, even though we didn't really get the Dark World tie-in.
True, we did get
in
Sif.
The first half of the season. We did get Sif back, and when she said, the All-Father wants me to bring Lorelei back, I'm like, that's not Odin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Lorelai just not a good person. So it'll be mm-hmm. interesting to see what they do with that. Another person, and sorry, this isn't really a spoiler. It's a spoiler that he's going to be on there, but you may have already seen it, Mike. Edward James Olmos coming in.
Yes.
Oh, I have seen that. Yes.
So
Eddie.
Yes, Mr. Captain William Adama himself, and it says that he's going to be a mysterious newcomer who will have massive repercussions on the S.H.I.E.L.D. gang. So.
And then there's, I don't know if you've seen some of the press releases that basically suggest that Mac and Bobby might have, not necessarily a relationship or anything, but they have something going on, like they have their own agenda, mm-hmm. apparently. That's going to conflict with Coulson.
Yeah, and that's been an interesting thing that's just kind of been below the surface there, is that they clearly have something else going on, but it hasn't really been brought to the fore. And I believe Melinda May's ex is also going to be back, played by Blair Underwood.
Yep.
So lots of guest stars, lots of Inhuman stuff. What else? Anything else that you're expecting or hoping to see?
You know, I'm really hoping that there's an Ant-Man reference somewhere in there.
I'm
because
sure.
What we know from the casting and the press releases that have come out and the first issue of the comic, mm-hmm. the prequel comic, is that Hank Pym used to work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, definitely. And, you know, and I think we've seen a lot of things in Agent Carter where they've sort of laid the groundwork for stuff of you know, inventions and different tie-ins that are going to come later on. Mike, I don't think you were here. No, because it was last week. We talked about, and George picked this up and I totally missed it, the idea that the vest that Dooley had on was like a prototype of Extremis.
Ah, I could see
that. I mean, so really cool ways that they're weaving stuff together.
I kind of figured that a lot of the Stark inventions were Easter eggs.
Right.
And I'm just not, forgive me, but I'm just not enough of a Marvel zombie to nail all
of those. Did you say a Marvel zombie?
That's what they're called?
I mean, even I am, and some of them, like, yeah, I think some of this is just stuff that he cooked up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, it's almost like, especially once you get it into S.H.I.E.L.D. and have the science boffins working mm-hmm. on it, it becomes a lot like a Q branch background joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about some of that when we get to talking about the actual episode. I'll be interested to see if anything more happens with the city, and you know, obviously we've got the people that are transforming into Inhumans, but that has honestly been the thing that has kept me hanging on since the very beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D. is what's up with Coulson, you know, and what is he, you know, what are the repercussions of his being brought back at first, and then him, you know, having these symbols that he's carving into the walls and stuff. So I hope they explore that some more too.
Yeah, and because I think there's still a question there of, I mean, that's still inside him. Is that still affecting him somehow? Because I mean, we found the city and that seems to be complete, but mm-hmm. who knows what else could be working under the surface, what other after effects there are.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, presumably Skye already had the genes for it mm-hmm. that she got from her mother, but you know, is the fact that she got the quote unquote guest house serum, you know, part of what made it so she's had an easier transition? Or you know, it'll be interesting to see what the way that they play with that and how Coulson is gonna mm-hmm. Because I mean, there have been some people that have speculated. Yeah, and this wouldn't be an Inhuman direction, but that Coulson's going to end up being Captain Marvel type figure or any number of other things.
I mean, I don't know about that because, I mean,
probably not.
There have been constant speculations about what Coulson's going to become since Coulson died.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there was a long theory that Coulson was going to become the Vision.
Right.
Yep, I remember that.
And now we know that's going to be Paul Bettany. So.
Right. And honestly, I would be perfectly fine if he just stays Coulson, because Coulson is awesome.
And I think that's almost kind of what they gotta do.
Yeah,
because I mean, he's our everyman. He's the audience participation member.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it definitely indicates that it's another indication that we may have some crossover going on, because obviously the first Avengers, that was where Coulson died, and it seems like at this point it's been long enough that they gotta be finding out sometime soon-ish that Coulson's still around. Not to mention the fact that the showrunners for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are Joss Whedon's brother and sister-in-law.
Right.
So, you know, very, very easy to just keep it within the family there, so... It will be interesting. Anything else, that any loose ends that you can think of from the first half of the season or anything?
Oh, the beautiful relationship that is Fitz and Simmons.
Oh, yes. Oh, so painful.
Are will they, won't they?
Absolutely.
Couple.
Those crazy kids, they still have a chance.
Oh, yep. But it's just so painful. Oh, God. Just thinking about it, it's horrible.
I just keep having, and for the first half of the season, I was really worried about this. I've kind of put my guard down, so mm-hmm. it might still happen, but I keep thinking that Fitz is going to do something rash in order to get better.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead to him becoming some sort of, villain type figure.
Mm-hmm.
And while that still could happen, I'm sort of not convinced of it as of right now,
mm-hmm.
but I do remember, I think the last time, when in the last episode or two, he had been introduced to that machine,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of was looking at it like, maybe that could, help me out as well. So I'm kind of, interested to see where that goes.
I kind of have a feeling, though, with the machine, I mean, if he plays around with it and evil super science, follows, that it'll probably be one of those situations where he goes back to normal by the end.
Possibly,
but who knows? It's a Whedon show.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, it could go any number of directions. But yes, Fitz and Simmons is definitely one thing there. And I'm interested to see what happens with Ward, too, because mm-hmm. I admit at the end of the first season, I was like, there's no way they can keep him as a series regular. There's just no way, because he's gone evil, and it's not going to work. And he...
Surprise!
They have done such a good job of keeping his character involved, but not going for the redemption plotline, which is what I was dreading.
Right.
Because, you know, it's sometimes it's just nice to let your bad guys stay bad.
They've said it's going to happen eventually, but they don't want it to be, like, easy. They don't want it to happen just in one season for him to suddenly be like, I've seen the error of my ways, and I wish to be a good guy now.
Right.
And now he's teamed up with Psycho May, right? So
yes, yeah, yeah. With Psycho May, and he's been buddying up with Cal as well.
His name is Calvin Zabo. He is Dr.
Right.
Jekyll. Well, he's basically Mr. Hyde. Cause he's even got, and you mentioned earlier about Skye's mom. Well, he's an Inhuman as well. He's got his power. So she got those genes from both of them, which is how he knows about everything.
Yeah.
And his power is like super strength or something, just like in the comics mostly, but he doesn't turn into a freakish thing.
Yeah.
He just kind of has this explosive temper.
A few
temper.
Weeks ago, we had Brian Eason on the show. And, when the, I guess it was the season finale or half season finale or whatever, where Coulson and Cal have their big throwdown. And I went online and I'm like, there's no way that guy could have kicked Coulson's ass, because Coulson's awesome. And Eason's like, let me give you a link to Wikipedia and show you. Yeah. And I was like,
let me show you something.
Yeah, they I think they all signs do point to him being that character as well, whether or not we'll actually, you know, there might be a passing reference similarly
like the Faustus,
like in Agent Carter, where, you know, yeah, where Fenoff is really Faustus. I think either Disney, ABC, Marvel, whoever is leery of using famous literary character names. Much like, you know, I mean, it didn't stop Marvel back in the day, but I think they're kind of like, well, if we don't have to go there, let's not go there.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I didn't even think about the fact that... Well, I mean, but it's not like Dr. Faustus and Jekyll and Hyde aren't in the public domain. It's not like they're, you know, Tolkien things or something.
Absolutely, and that's true, but then there's a lot of, I mean, look, mm-hmm. I mean, with both of those things, that there's a lot of history there, there's a lot of, you know, things, baggage there that you might just not want to bring in. You know, it'd be like all of a sudden, you know, Dracula is in the Marvel Universe as well, and he's a public domain, he's a public domain character too, so, you know, you could have Dracula pop up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think a lot of people would be like, let's not do that.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think the way that they handled it for Agent Carter was fantastic. You know, the way they had Vanko's father in there for one of the earlier episodes, and Dr. Faustus, and all kinds of, you know, little things here and there. And, of course, we'll be talking about the big Easter egg at the end of the episode in a few minutes. Yeah, anybody else that you're looking to see some plotline development with?
I want to see a bit more out of the kind of the secondary cast members, you know, with Hunter. Well, and like you said, we're obviously going to see something going on with Mac and Bobby. But I do want to see kind of that development that fleshed out. Unfortunately, you know, we're not going to see any more from BJ Britt.
But who knows? Comic books, you never know.
Yeah, I want everybody to kind of have their spotlight, because it seems like we've assembled a really good cast, and, you know, In the off season, so to speak, Adrian Pilecki gotten herself bumped up to a series regular.
A major thing there. So yeah, definitely. I think that's something where they've really broadened out the cast. It's gone from, you know, really about six or seven people to really, you know, like 12 or 15, and they've got a lot of good folks there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come up, and I'm very excited about the premiere starting next week. So, boy, things are just going fast. All right. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about this episode of Agent Carter, the final episode, Valediction.
You got to ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Welcome back, and now it is time to talk about our season finale of Agent Carter, and boy, was it a doozy. We talked last week about all the things that we were expecting to have happen, and what we were expecting for the Easter egg, and ended up being pretty different than everything that we had guessed. So how about you, Mike? What was some of the highlights of this episode for you?
I think they did a tremendous job wrapping up a lot of threads in in a single episode. I mean, even, as you guys mentioned, even in episode 7, they still had a lot of things, and it looked like, wow, they're going to be able to, you know, talk about all this stuff and resolve it, to everybody's satisfaction. But, you know, and granted, they had to kind of throw some exposition here and there to, like, explain, you know, the guys with the
tracheotomy thing. And,
the tracheotomy, right, exactly, and kind of like go, oh, okay. You know, I think they did a really good job, and at the same time giving us, of course, a very action-oriented episode. You know, if you can't afford to show New York, you know, at Times Square.
Yeah.
You know, they got around it very well, and I thought it was handled really well, and I'm really kind of sad. I hope that it really comes back, because I've really learned to like this show a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned the fight, and again, they've been consistently fantastic in terms of the fights, and we've talked about before the fact that the fighting style of each character very much comes across. I mean, you can tell that, you know, Peggy doesn't know any martial arts or anything. She just is like a backstreet scrapper. She'll just kick the...
And I mean, it certainly seems like she gets lucky, she takes advantage of it, and bam, beats Dottie.
Yeah, and that scene with her and Dottie, that was like, that's up there with the good May versus evil May fight that they had in S.H.I.E.L.D. in terms of pure awesomeness. So yeah, some great action. I was very happy with how they handled all the stuff with Howard in terms of wrapping that up. That was a neat little psychological twist thing with having him piloting the airplane. Again, that's a neat way of dealing with that plot line without having to, like you said, show all of Times Square or anything. You're just showing a guy in an airplane.
Yep. Absolutely. It's so much cheaper.
Yes, and the little dream sequence thing of him being in the Arctic and Peggy having the shield, it was like, oh, the feels. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, you realize that Peggy isn't the only one that misses it.
Yes, definitely.
Plus, since we're talking about that scene too, I thought it was, obviously it's reminiscent of the end of Captain America, where she's on the radio talking to someone that she cares about, maybe for the last time, in an airplane. And, but it, even though it was like, oh yeah, well, that's pretty obvious, I didn't feel like it was contrived. I didn't feel like it felt natural. It felt, I felt bad that Peggy was once again in this situation rather than going, oh, that's kind of hackney. They did this before. You know, it felt like something that almost needed to happen.
Yeah, it was
like she needed that to go through something similar and have the result be positive.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I mean I think that the parallel was definitely there and was obvious, and they even threw in little bits and pieces and references and whatnot. But
they're definitely bookends to the show starting off that way and it ending that way, and I think they even use the same camera angles when she's on the radio with Stark.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I hadn't even...
And even, and bringing it up right in the beginning of this episode where the radio reenacts the scene for us as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So
yeah, where have they been?
Yeah, so like, hey, this is going to be relevant, so pay attention, folks.
Yes, exactly. I think that... I would have almost liked to have seen the radio show thing come in a few other times over the course of the show, but I mean, it's just... There's so much to pack in, but I thought that, the last time that they did it was so effective, where it was, and this was like back in like the second episode or something, but where they were having the radio play of the Peggy character being all weak and helpless while she was beating the crap out of a guy in real life. So yeah, I think I think that there's a lot of, if they continue the show, I think that could be a nice little, just recurring Greek chorus kind of thing in terms of commenting on the action. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And one way I thought to maybe use it is if you've never seen Legend of Korra, at the very beginning, they have one character in there who's like an announcer for these sporting events, and they have him do a narration that's almost like a newsreel of the previous episode, recounting everything that's happened.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. Like the newsreel stuff that they had at the very beginning of the series that had Howard Stark going in front of Congress, just like Tony Stark going in front of Congress, and yeah.
Yeah, or almost you can like replay the events of the episode with the radio cast almost.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I thought that the one thing about this series that never quite gelled for me was the introduction, the "Hello, I'm Peggy Carter" thing that they did.
Right.
It was the thing that it reminded me of, and you two will get this, even if maybe not everybody in our audience does. Mm-hmm. It just reminded me of the Amy Pond voiceover, in Doctor Who, where it was just like, this is not necessary. We know, we get it. We get the point of the show. You don't have to do this. But
I mean, not to mention, it also feels a lot like with the CW shows like Arrow and Flash, where they've got to tell you what their point is before the episode starts. Like, I'm Barry Allen and my mom died and I became a crime fighter and I became the impossible, and Arrow's, I was stranded on an island and I'm coming back to get revenge for my city.
Yeah, it's like give your audience some credit.
Well, right. Keep in mind, folks, I mean, every episode is someone's first.
That's true. That's true.
So while it may be annoying to us in the know, it might possibly help out those people who are watching it for the first time.
Episode 25 is your first.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I bet you every single time that something airs, somebody's watching it for the first
time.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
So, could be.
So, and you don't want to lose them, especially when the ratings are as wishy-washy as some of the ones for, like, this has been.
And right. I've been actually very excited. I have a couple of my people that I've spoken with that started listening to this podcast before they started watching the show, and because of the podcast they decided they wanted to go look the show up. So it's wow. Awesome to see how that
excellent.
That kind of comes around. So
Marvel needs Marvel and ABC needs to send you a little
thank you to those people.
Yes, indeed. I'm here for you, Marvel. I'm here. I'm doing the good work for you. So but yeah, we had lots of great stuff in this episode. I thought that one thing that struck me as kind of weird in terms of being forced was making Jarvis suddenly be a fighter pilot. Because when they said, you know, oh, well, we might have to shoot Howard down, and all the SSR guys are going, well, I can't fly a plane. I can't fly a plane either. And Jarvis is like, I can.
I thought they established that, though.
Had they?
Yeah.
Because he was in the service before, and he was about to get, you know... And Stark stepped in. I don't know.
Well,
you know,
I know
quite
he was in the service, but it sounded like he was like an attaché to some general or something like that. So.
Well, and plus, dramatically speaking, he's the only one that is going to be that you're going to care to make that decision. So it has to be.
Yeah, It just felt kind of weird to me, but
it was a little contrived. The only thing that, on a similar note, the one misstep that I kind of was like, oh, why is that there? Mm-hmm. Because to me, it not ruined, but it kind of was a blemish on what I thought was an outstanding fight scene between Peggy and Dottie. Mm-hmm. But when Dottie started spouting like, oh, I'm so jealous of you. You have everything and I'm this and that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did that come from? Like, why is this personal all of a sudden? I couldn't even imagine where that came from.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I suppose I can see it from the sense of, you know, obviously she's grown up from a very young age, indoctrinated in this program, and never really had her own life. So she's never been able to live it like Peggy has, and she looks at Peggy and all these other girls, and Peggy is kind of becomes the symbol of that, because Peggy's somebody that she can fight, she can reveal herself to, because she plans to kill Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. That's just it. I never thought that Dottie considered her Peggy anything more than something in the way.
Yeah.
Like, I never got the impression from her, from anything that they did, that she ever looked at her like and was envious.
Right.
So, I mean, if they had established something at the girl house or something where Peggy was talking about something and Dottie was kind of looking at her like, hey, I wish I had that or something like that, then maybe. But I just thought it was a really odd character moment. I was like,
there's
you
a
know,
couple
it's
moments.
Not really necessary. Just have her kick ass.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a couple moments like that, actually, because you get the one where she, like, after she's broken in, she creepily sits down, puts on
true.
Peggy's stuff.
She starts
and
doing the single white female thing of putting on, hi, I'm Peggy Carter and everything. Yeah, that's true.
And also, I mean, when she goes in for the baby carriage to put the gas in, and you know, you get that kind of that feeling when she's asked about it and stuff, that you know, it's something like I can't really have this.
Really? Because I got the impression
that might be reaching.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit
in that particular
or maybe
scene.
Maybe it's just that I watched you know Avengers last night, so when Mark Ruffalo does it with the bassinet. Maybe I'm making a connection
there.
Yeah.
You're reaching, dude. Because I thought it was just.
I shall be vindicated eventually.
I thought that scene was interesting because it was Dottie so obviously trying to pretend that she's you know an expectant mother and trying to do what is expected, and it just for me it had come off as kind of phony. But you know who knows? We may never know these things since. Whether or not there's going to be a season 2 is kind of up in the air.
I'll go to my grave believing I'm right in the meantime.
Yes, we remember how your Super Bowl predictions came out, John, so let's not go there.
Well, you know, I was almost right there.
True.
I'm not the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
It's fair.
I thought it was very keen on Howard's part that here it is. It's so funny. Like, here it is, and he's, you know, saying that there's a plan here, and I'm going to put myself at risk here, and I'm going to sacrifice, you know, and everybody's like, don't do it, Howard, you know, because it's, you know, that. But what he's really doing is staging his admit that he's, like, cleared of all wrongdoing.
Right, right.
So he's basically getting the government to say, like, all this stuff and everything that they've been working on.
Yes.
And all this public opinion that's been thrown on him, and you know, yes, I mean, it is to try to get the killers as well, but it's working out tremendously in Howard's favor.
Yes,
I mean,
he's lucky that he had Thompson up there who was willing to basically repeat everything that he said.
Well, then, to a point.
Well, yeah, but pretty damn close, yeah.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, you know, in Iron Man 2 when they have to get Senator Stearns to kind of give him the award and say nice things about Tony and
Rhodey. And Rhodey. Yeah, that's a good parallel there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But really interesting character moments with him. One, when he's reunited with his gear.
Mm-hmm.
and then later on when Finoff does actually reach him and we do find out that he feels tremendous guilt, and really out of everything that he's created, the only thing that he feels good about is Steve.
Yes. And it made me think of all of those memes that have fortunately taken a break, but when they were talking about Civil War a couple of months ago, and there was this rash of Steve and Tony, you know, memes arguing about things and saying Civil War, and the one that I thought was one of the first ones, and it was one of the most powerful ones, was basically Steve saying, you know, your dad loved me more than he loved you.
Yeah. And you see the newer one, it's like, where Tony goes back, well, you know what else he loved? And it shows a picture of Peggy.
Oh, sad. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, very, very cool way of handling things and setting up parallels and everything.
Did anybody think he was really going to get shot down?
No, because we know that he has to have Tony, right?
Well, he can get shot down and miraculously survive.
Yes, that's true.
Or, you know, you can shoot down part of the plane and
he could have gotten shot down and survived. That's true.
I kind of figured if they didn't have the budget to go to Times Square, they probably weren't going to have the budget to shoot down his plane.
Fair.
I kind of looked at it that way, going, yeah, you know, this is all well and good, but I'm pretty sure he's gonna break out of it. The only question was how, you know, and I thought that that was done really well. It wasn't something like, you know, a word, or all of a sudden he was just like, I was just fooling, you know, or anything like that. I mean, it was something that they both went through together, and I think she was the only one who could reach him.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that they handled that, and that's something that I'm glad that they did it the way that they did it, in terms of both with Sousa and with Howard. We've established that Faustus's mind mojo is pretty darn potent, and it's not just something that works on people who are red shirts. You know, he got Dooley really bad, and so I was,
and he got Stark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that guy's so full of himself, you wouldn't think he'd listen to anybody.
Exactly.
Fortunately, Sousa was, you know, wised up before he went in the face.
Exactly, and did the cotton balls in the ears, what is it, Odysseus kind of thing, which was very smart. And it happened that the first time that I watched that, I had looked away from the screen for a second, and I looked back, and I'm like, wait, how did he do that? I don't understand. And then I went back and watched. I was like, oh, that's very smart. But,
and, you know, at the same time, he's smart enough to realize, obviously, that, like, Faustus is trying to convince him to shoot Thompson.
Right.
So he's able to make it look convincing, and then bam.
He's able to play along with it. So yeah, that was great. I hate it when they make a bad guy out to be very powerful, and then they totally undercut him at some point. And I think that makes heroes less heroic. if the bad guys are not equally as strong or stronger. So I think they had a really good way of doing that without minimizing the mojo that he's got. And speaking of his mojo and leading to Winter Soldier and everything, how about that Easter egg at the end?
Oh, yeah, the ending was quite cool. To see Toby Jones was quite a surprise.
Yes, and I wish I had not been spoiled on that, because at the beginning of the episode, I wanted to look up who had written it, and it was the two showrunners that had written it, but I wanted to look that up, so I pulled up the episode on IMDb, I'm like, oh no! I'm so sad.
Yeah. That's it's pretty cool. I'm not like I've said many times, I'm not a huge historian when it comes to that stuff, but I do really, really love. I mean, my one of my favorite runs, certainly of Captain America: Winter Soldier, was what Ed Brubaker did, and the team of Dr. Faustus and Armin Zola was like, it was just in there.
Yeah.
Right.
They always are like this team. I'm not sure how much that is true, like the back in the day, but it's cool to see that the beginnings of it here.
Yeah, and then obviously in the Brubaker run, especially like Winter Soldier.
Yes,
they're both very instrumental in kind of maintaining Bucky, and it looks like, of course, that they're going to be both instrumental in setting up Bucky as the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although that's something that kind of weirded me out, because, and I love the way that they handled it with, you know, America is the land of opportunity and everything, but we know that Zola ends up staying here, right? Because he's in prison, and then he's in the computer, and blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah, he's part of Operation Paperclip.
Well, Paperclip and Hydra and all that. But it was making me wonder, is it possible that there isn't a Soviet connection with Winter Soldier? Because, I mean, it seems like the two people that were largely responsible for him being created are both in the United States, and we know one of them stays in the United States.
It remains to be seen how much he stays there. So.
Right.
And I think the whole point of it is much like where, you know, the villains of Captain America: The First Avenger or Hydra, not, you know, the Nazis, is so much as, well, you know, we can't really tie Leviathan in, we can tie Leviathan in, but we can't really tie Winter Soldier to Soviet Russia because we want Russians to go see the movie.
Really? I guess that's possible. I wouldn't have thought. You know, I would think China's a big market, but I wouldn't think Russia's necessarily. But
it's a very large country with a lot.
Yes, it is a large country. That's true.
Yeah, and that's part of the thinking of movie studios is you want something that's not just going to be popular in America. You want it to be popular everywhere, and you want everyone to go see it. Which is kind of why in Winter Soldier they slip in the lines that it was believed that the Winter Soldier was a Soviet spy, Soviet assassin, but turns out, of course, that he's really a Hydra assassin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's like saying that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't American. S.H.I.E.L.D. is totally American. Even if they've got, you know, people all over the world, I think that the groupings and their affiliations are still pretty clear. But yeah, I think that I was, because of Marvel making such a big deal about it's all connected, I'm expecting, because we had so many Russian connections in Agent Carter, we had the stuff with Leviathan, we had blanking on his name, Whiplash's father.
Vanko.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We had him, and we had the beginning of the Black Widow program and stuff like that. I mean, I think there's definitely lots of room for a second series.
Absolutely.
You know, just to wrap that kind of stuff up too,
right.
Because it seems like they've all got to, you know, work together in some way.
And if this is a S.H.I.E.L.D. prequel show, I mean, we still are left with, the question of, how does the SSR become S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, although there is some of that in
the short,
in the one shot.
In the one shot. But obviously there's lots of other things that play together there. Although, again, Eason a few weeks ago made the good point that I'm trying to remember what exactly the timeline was, but we're in 1946.
Yes.
And so there actually is not a ton of time if we wanted to do another season before the one shot takes place.
Yeah, because I mean, haven't they said before that the one shot basically takes place during about, you know, the same time or roughly close to the first season?
It has to happen after the first season.
Right.
Obviously, because, you know, we don't have Dooley in charge and all that. So, I mean, so I guess it's a question, if there is a second season, is that going to be located between season one and the one shot, or is it going to be after the one shot, or at which point it's not the SSR anymore, it's early S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
I'm still hoping we definitely get Bradley Whitford to replace Dooley.
Oh, I would love that. He went to the same school as I did, Wesleyan University.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. And incidentally, also where Joss Whedon went. But yeah. So I got a little soft spot in my heart for my fellow Wes alums. But
and as good as the one shot is, I mean, it was done as exactly that, a one shot. So
yeah.
I mean, at the beginning of the one shot, I mean, she's relegated to what kind of what we see in the first part of this season,
right.
Getting lunches and coffee and what so and being disregarded. Whereas, obviously, I mean, everybody's looking at her with different eyes at the end of this episode. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
She's got respect across the board.
Yes and no, because that whole scene with the politician that comes in at the end.
But I think, I think that, you know, I actually am okay with the way that resolved. And I was talking to someone about this this afternoon, because they were like, well, you know, Thompson going ahead and taking all the credit and everything like that. And I'm like, you know what? Peggy doesn't care. Because I don't think Peggy, as she says to Sousa, she doesn't need, you know, the president to put a badge on her or anything like that, or her name in the papers
she
or anything
says,
like she, when she walked in and they all like stood up and clapped for her, that's what she wanted. So she's done. Now, Jack did the only thing really that Jack
could
do. Because if Jack turned around, like if the senator comes in and says, congratulations, Jack, on a job well done, you're a hero. If Jack had said, well, excuse me, Senator, but this lady and this gimp helped me out, you know, they were the ones who really saved the day. You know, I think then all of a sudden, like, they're going to be like, what? What are
we know Jack here?
And the whole
Jack
program
is
calls into question.
All right, and we know Jack is good at taking credit for things he didn't do.
Right, but,
well,
you know, I mean, in order...
But at the same time, I think that the actor played that really, really well, because you could see that there was a moment of him stopping and considering, you know, giving Peggy the credit. And it wasn't like he got a cocky smile and was like, ha, I'll take all the credit myself.
Right.
It was a very considered decision that for political reasons, this is the best way for me to handle
And the
this.
Best yeah. reason, best really for political reasons, I think it was the best thing for the department. You know, I mean,
oh,
look,
yes.
I mean, and Peggy... And, you know, once Daniel gets his head up out of his butt, he knows, like, they both know that Jack respects them now, and he's not, I mean, going forward into missions and everything like that, he's not going to, like, just say, hey, get me coffee and all that kind of, they're not going to go back to the way things were.
Although one thing I do want to see still between Jack and Daniel Sousa is, I still want that conflict between them, that, you know, those verbal barbs going back and forth, because... I think that just in any kind of TV cop pair, that makes for that makes for good television.
There has to be banter. Yeah absolutely. Right. And you know, even though, you know, they've all sort of come through this together and they've got, you know, they've all got very different relations to each other than they did at the beginning of the season. They're not all buddies, you know. So
I don't think that the end is a slap in the face to Peggy at all. I think it's just, and she understands it better than anybody else. So she understands this is the way things should be. And you know what? I think she's okay with it. I mean, at the end, I mean, she kind of jokes that she's not even sure she's going to stay there anyway, which we all know she will. But even if we didn't have the one shot or anything else, we know that she's going to stick around.
And even so, we can still have, you know, Bradley Whitford come in. He's the new boss. He doesn't know anything that has really occurred in the past season. So he's still looking down on Peggy
as
you know, sandwich and coffee girl.
Yeah. Things could regress if someone else was to take over. But like I said, that whole department knows.
Yeah.
So it's not like just a few people in that department knows. I mean, everybody knows. And so, I mean, you know, she gets what she wants there. So I thought it was very satisfying.
I think that it's not easy to do a girl power series and set it in the 40s, you know, because you know that in order to have any semblance of historical verisimilitude, you have to have that gender bias there. But, you know, she says at the end, "I know my value. Anyone else's opinion doesn't matter."
And, well, that's, you know, kind of not could, true, but...
But that is what she says.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's interesting to see the balance that they strike there. Because, you know, with making her still a very strong character, but her saying, "No, I understand I have to color inside the lines here. I have to, you know, play along with this." And you know, she says anyone else's opinion doesn't matter, but that's not true.
Right.
I mean, Thompson and Seuss's opinion does matter to her.
Right.
And Howard's opinion does matter to her.
And Jarvis's opinion I'm blanking on the waitress's
Angie?
Name. Angie's opinion.
Yeah, Angie.
Matters.
Yeah, I mean, those are the people that matter to
right.
her. You know, if this politician doesn't respect her, then whatever. So yeah, not a completely accurate statement on her part, but yeah, I think they did a very good job of making that work within the time period while still having it be a very positive thing. Okay, so ratings on a scale of 1 to 5 red hats. Where would you place our final episode, Mr. John Raven?
I'm going to give it 5. I loved just everything about it, all the action, the pacing, you know, the Easter egg especially, just how it ended with her getting the respect from both, you know, Thompson and Sousa, and of course being okay with herself.
Yeah.
The only thing I would have loved to have seen is if we find out that Angie's real name is actually Maria.
Maria.
As in the future Mrs. Stark.
Oh.
But
that would have been a neat twist, but
yeah.
But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be too easy.
Might be too easy. All right, how about you, Mike? What would you say?
I'm going to give it a 4, 4.5. The whole series gets a good 4, 4.5 for me. It was enjoyable, and it was a great, you know, a lot of these times, you know, the finale, especially if they don't know if they're coming back, you know, it might not tie things up as much as we want and all that kind of stuff, but I thought it was a great way to tie everything up and leave us wanting more. I'm especially... we haven't talked about this, but I'm especially keen to find out about the super soldier sturgeon now that they're swimming in the Hudson of New York. I want to see that, like, you know, Captain America fish going along down there.
Yes.
Some fish is just like swimming along, and all of a sudden, gulp, like, woo, powerful stuff.
Well, you know, there's this stuff in the East River that, you know, can consume gangsters and do all kinds of things. So now maybe we know where that came from. So,
but that was a very touching moment.
That's why it's illegal to go swimming there.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that moment, and it was very touching and very nice. And it remains to be seen. I mean, Howard could have swapped vials at any time. So who knows if that's really the Steve's blood? But I thought it was a really nice moment to end it on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm also going to go with a 4.5. It's not that there was anything wrong with this episode. I thought it was fantastic. And it did give me the you know, very nearly a jump off the couch and go, yes, moment with Zola at the end. I wish I hadn't been spoiled for it. But yeah, I think overall this series has been tightly plotted, and every episode has advanced the plot and has developed characters, and I think that if Marvel uses this as their, you know, their guidepost for how to do other limited run series, that they're definitely headed in the right direction. So yeah, I thought it was fantastic overall, and a great way to end the series, and hopefully we will have a second season. But if we don't, I feel like it's reached a satisfying conclusion.
At the very least, I hope that should Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever Marvel series at some point decides to have flashbacks to the World War II era, I would love to see these characters back.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And S.H.I.E.L.D. did that.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, granted, it was kind of a lead-in.
It was, but there were things in there that we have not, touched on in the Peggy Carter series, the stuff with Whitehall and the stuff with how did they end up with the Kree that then ended up in the guest house and all that.
Right.
So I'm sure this isn't the last that we've seen of Peggy and Thompson and Sousa. So I'm sure we'll be seeing them again.
And these are all people, willing to reprise and come back for TV shows. As we know, Toby Jones is no stranger to it, having appeared in Doctor Who, so and a few other programs for the BBC.
But he's also a pretty big name and somebody who has quite a lot of credentials. But
right, I don't think we'll see him ever as a series regular, but definitely recurring.
Yes, very much so. All right. Well, thank you both for coming by this evening. I really enjoyed it. And where can people find you, Mr. Mike Gordon?
People can find me on the ESO Network. I, of course, am the weekly co-host of the weekly Earth Station One podcast, as well as intermittent Earth Station Who podcast. And
every other week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I've also, of course, got my own stuff going on, books and comics and whatnot at newlegendmike.com.
Fantastic. All right. And how about you, Mr. John?
Well, once again, you can find me at angletopia.net, taristopia.net, on Twitter at John M. Rabin, and through cosplay as Agent Doctor on Facebook.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you both very much. We've got a big episode coming up next week. I'm really excited about the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what surprises they have in store for us with that. So we will see you next week. A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I have to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.